How many of you know that Jim Martin is a man of great faith? You just saw a demonstration of it. He handed the microphone to me and expects to get it back. I mean, this is a man of great faith. Open up to Luke chapter 8. Let me exhort you just for a moment on the offerings. The young man that led Sue and I to the Lord 32 years ago was very pure. And we're blessed to have him living back in Tulsa right now, and it's good to have fellowship with him. He pastored a church up in Indiana for many years. But he was very pure, and he taught us properly concerning giving and receiving the way it should be taught in the Bible. And it's so important, and not only giving and receiving in a church, but giving to the poor. There's all aspects. But once he left Tulsa and began ministering, pastoring up in Indiana, then we were left to the tender mercies of other pastors. And I'll just say it this way. I got hooked on what's commonly called the prosperity gospel. None of you probably ever fell for that. And what I'm talking about is all of those formulas, you know, the hundredfold return. And it took a while. You don't just change course on a dime, but little by little by little. In their very early days under Michael, the man that led us to the Lord, man, our heart was so pure when it come to giving. When we gave, it was about that person that was in trouble. You know, we found out somebody, it didn't have to be a church service either. You know, we just found out somebody that we knew was, they didn't have groceries in the house or they couldn't pay their taxes. And that's all you needed to know, okay? And then you go give, and more than once, we just emptied the bank account. I mean, whatever it took. And we weren't looking for any kind of hundredfold return, any debt-breaking anointing, any mortgage paying off blessing. You know, we just did it because it was the will of the Lord to do it, see? But little by little by little, as we would listen to the doctrine that was popular in the 80s, the focus of our giving turned from them to us. And when I gave, especially me, not so much Sue, but especially me, when I gave, it was me that I had on my mind, you know. I had a need, so I needed to sow my best seed. Or I needed a hundredfold return, or whatever it was, you know. And our giving became completely turned around where we were the focus of our own giving. We were more concerned about our reward than we were the hand of the Lord ministering to the other people. Well, then we walked into this church called the Prayer Center in 1992. And this Dave Roberson guy just flat ruined us. I mean, you know, he got us praying in the Holy Ghost and said, now, if you'll spend time allowing the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you with these groanings that can't be uttered, he will begin, he's called the Spirit of Truth. He will begin leading and guiding you into all truth. So we just made that simple decision after about 6 months of listening. And I had a job where I could basically get paid to pray. I was a long-haul trucker at the time, and I had all this time in the cab of that truck. And so I just said, Lord, I'm just going to make this cab of this truck my prayer closet, and I'm just going to start praying in other tongues. And that was 60 hours a week or so, you know, on the average, 50, 60 hours, which took a while to get adapted to that, but I'm telling you, you can train yourself, you know. Still yet to this day, touch the steering wheel, pray in tongues. I mean, just you know. But just exactly what Pastor Dave said began to happen. And sure enough, little by little, one little precept at a time, the Holy Spirit began to retrain us back into the real ways of the Lord. And I had to unlearn. Same way you learn is how you unlearn. Line upon line. Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until finally he gets you back on course. Well, that's the reason I had you look here at Luke 8. This was one of the early passages while I was still driving the trucks that the Holy Spirit used to start straightening me out. In the ministry of Jesus, we don't get very many glimpses behind the veil. What I mean is the inner workings of his own ministry. You know, things wasn't free in his day either. Do y'all know I recently flew to do a set of gospel meetings in the state of Washington, and I told United Airlines that I was going there to preach the gospel, And did you know they still wanted money for my tickets? I know, Jim. I know it. Well, it wasn't any different in Jesus' day. They stayed at inns. You can read. They ate meals. He sent the disciples into town one time to buy food and bring back. And so we don't get many glimpses into how did his ministry really function. How did the money come in? He had to have money also. Well, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1, is a rare glimpse behind the curtain, behind the veil, where you can see how his ministry functioned. So it starts off here. It says, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, now notice, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. King James, that just plainly means they were giving of what they had. They were financing this work of the Lord. And I began to think about all these women. It says they were healed of evil spirits and infirmities, and then we're given one particular case, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. You know, we read these so fast, these passages, you know. Dave teaches us to slow down, meditate. You ever thought about what her life was like before Jesus? Not just demon-possessed. Demon-possessed with 7 of them. Her life had to be full of torment. No telling the degradation that those devils brought her to, probably barely human. And here comes Jesus of Nazareth. She gets free, probably got healed physically also, restored back to favor with God. What do you think was on her mind when she would give money into his offering? Is she concerned about some kind of hundredfold blessing for herself? Is she sowing a seed to meet her need? No, Jesus has already come. Jesus has already met every need. Jesus is the seed sown to meet your need already. When she gave what was on her mind, she says, he's going to the next village after this one. I'm going to have a part in that. I want people there to be healed. And there's people there that have devils. And I want to help get him and this message to every city, every village. When you're giving into Jim Martin Ministries, when you're giving into this conference, you already know that, just like he said a while ago, these CDs, they're made available for free. He's just trusting God that God will speak to the hearts of certain ones and that they'll be obedient. We're all endeavoring for one thing, and that's to keep sending Jesus from village to village to village. He is alive and well, and they're saved through the foolishness of preaching. But how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they be sent? Today, when you give, you're sending preachers in ways that were not possible in Paul's day. Paul's day, he had to physically go from city to city to city. Nowadays, with the right now, as I'm speaking, I don't even know how many countries are watching right now. How many will receive these CDs later, the MP3 files? How many will download them around the internet? We did a survey about a year ago at my own website. And I don't know if it's this way all the time, but during the week that we did the survey, we averaged 70 listeners an hour. 70 an hour. 24 hours a day. Somewhere in the world. I'm a pretty good preacher, but I can't do that many services. What I mean is I'm energetic. You know, I have lots of stamina, Susan, but I can't do 70 an hour a day. But I can. Thank God for media. And every time that you give, now your giving really is multiplied more than ever at any time in history. Every dollar causes that gospel to go farther than it ever went before. So just bow your heads with me for a minute. Father, I feel your love for these people so strong I can barely stand here. But Father, their love for you, there's not a person here that was not touched, saved, delivered, set free by the same Jesus that set Mary Magdalene free. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so glad to be saved. Father, now it's our turn to bless your kingdom. Father, we just want you to receive what we give. We're giving it with a heart of love and a heart of gratitude because we want to see more people saved and healed, baptized in the Spirit. Father, receive our offering today from our hearts of grateful and thankful people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen.